UB40, the way you do the things you do. Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. It's 8 o'clock right now. I'm running way behind this morning, Finn. That's all right, though.
That's my fault. Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine. We're at that point where we get to do some celebrating, though, with the birthdays. We'll make up some time somewhere. At any rate, if you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary today or know somebody who is, you can text us on the Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells text line 355-9970. So we're going to start at the top of our list with Misha Barton, who played Marissa Cooper on The OC. She is celebrating her 38th birthday. Boy, that was a short-lived career, because once she got off The OC, you never really heard from Misha Barton again, which is probably okay. Justin Baldoni, who played Jane's baby daddy, Raphael, on Jane the Virgin, he's celebrating his 40th birthday. David Diggs, who's Lafayette and Jefferson in Hamilton. He's also Rainbow's brother, Johan, on Blackish. He's also Andre Layton on TNT's Snowpiercer series. He's celebrating his 42nd birthday. Carrie Coon, who was in Avengers Infinity War. She was Proxima Midnight. You also know her as Nora on HBO's The Leftovers, and she was Gloria, the main character from the third season of Fargo. She's 43 years old. Dexter just started Fargo.
Love her. And she's kind of one of our own. She has local ties. She was a UW of Madison alum. She did a couple of seasons up at American Players Theater in Spring Green.
Awesome.
And now she's in, listen, I know way too much about Carrie Coon. My wife's going to get suspicious here. But yeah, absolutely love her.
That's awesome. Yeah. Dexter just started Fargo and he's loving it so far.
Yeah.
Once he gets done with that, he refuses to watch any White Lotus with us, because once he gets done with Fargo, then he wants to move into White Lotus. And then we obviously are still going to do Succession, he and I, at some point in time.
Sure.
I said to him, I said, we got to start that. And he's like, I know. He's like, let's find a day when we can just sit down and watch. So we'll do that as well. Tatiana Ali, who played Ashley Banks on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, she's celebrating her 45th birthday. Kristen Schaal, who is a former Daily Show correspondent, she plays Carol on the sitcom Last Man on Earth. She's also Louise on Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
She is 46 years old. Oh, Ed Helms, love him. Andy on The Office, he was also a former Daily Show correspondent. He was also Stu the Dentist in the Hangover movies. He also cashed a paycheck for playing the grown version of Chevy Chase's son in the Vacation reboot. He is celebrating his 50th birthday today. Yeah. Matthew Lillard, who is Shaggy in the Scooby-Doo movies. He also played Stu, one half of the psychotic serial killing team in the original Scream. He is celebrating his 54th birthday. Mary Lou Retton is celebrating today as well. We're lucky we're celebrating this birthday the way it sounds. I don't know if you heard about that health scare she had not too long ago. She was in intensive care, couldn't breathe, had to be supported by machines. Her daughters weren't really sure what was going to happen with her. Anyway, legendary gymnast, 56 years old, just saw her in an interview a few weeks after she'd been released from the hospital, still obviously trying to regain strength and breathing, still an issue. She was on oxygen in that particular interview, but obviously doing better. So that's good news.
Good news.
I mean, like an American legend. At the 1984 Summer Olympics in LA, she won the gold medal in the individual all-around competition, 2 silver and 2 bronze medals as well.
Yeah.
Natasha Kinski, who is originally from Germany, she starred in the 1982 erotic horror movie Cat People. You may also remember a poster where she posed nude with a snake in 1981. It inspired Jennifer Lawrence to undress in Vogue in 2015. She is 63 years old. Natasha Kinski, not Jennifer Lawrence, by the way. We'll make sure we clarify
right.
that. Yakov Smirnoff, Russian genius, is celebrating his 73rd birthday. I think he's a super funny guy. We have Aaron Neville on the list as well. He's 83. Remember his big hit hit Tell It Like It Is with Linda Ronstadt. He had Tell It Like It Is, and then he did his big hit with Linda Ronstadt, Don't Know Much. It helps when you read where the commas are as you're going through these quickly. And then he had his remake of Everybody Plays the Fool. I went to find some Aaron Neville this morning, and unfortunately, all we have in our library is Christmas Aaron Neville, and nobody needs that in January. Just saying. Anyway,
what Christmas song is it? Do you know?
I think
what
it was like Let It Snow, and there was a couple others in there. Yeah. Anyway, he is 83 today, but I always thought he had an amazing voice. Aaron Neville, I thought he always had an incredible voice.
And
he had
the that Neville falsetto. Brothers all together.
Yeah, we do have Robbie in this system as too. C'est La Vie is in there, so there is that. Neil Diamond, sadly, Parkinson's ended his touring career. He had those big hits, though, of course, we all know, Sweet Caroline, Holy Holy, Cracklin' Rosie, and then he had that smooth duet with Barbara Streisand, You Don't Bring Me Flowers. Neil Diamond, 83 years old today.
Legend.
I know. Legend. So amazing. Coming from an oldies background, we played a whole lot of Neil Diamond, and my mom and dad were huge fans, so I'm pretty sure in their record collection growing up, they had every Neil Diamond album that he ever put out, because they really loved him. Ray Stevens is also celebrating today. He had a huge hit in 1974 with The Streak. Oh, there's some amazing music genius right there.
From one extreme to another.
Speaking of Grammys and AMAs and all, no, he will never win for that. More recently, though, you'd remember his 2015 song, Taylor Swift Is Stalking Me, which is not nearly as funny considering there was an actual stalker arrested outside her apartment in New York. So that's kind of neat. But you might also be interested in his 2010 immigration song, Come to the USA, or the global warming song. And then there were his Obama bashing songs, Obama budget song, Mr. President, and Obama Nation as well. So there you have it.
Can he stop now?
Yeah, that's right. Let's just go back to The Streak. I mean, that was good entertainment at that point in time. Anyway, if I didn't say it, Ray Stevens, 85 today. And then we do have one local birthday we got to pass along this morning. Mary Bromley is celebrating. So very, very happy birthday to Mary. And to you, if you happen to be celebrating today. Now, remember, if you want to add somebody to our list, it's easy. All you have to do is text us on the Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells text line, 355-9970. Taking a look at our forecast, the fog and the freezing drizzle, pretty much going to stick around for most of today. It's going to be a little dreary, as Sean Cable likes to say. Temperatures hanging out in the mid-30s. We'll actually tell you more about your weather in just a moment. We'll also have a look at ABC and local news right here on Max FM.
Whether you're a woman looking to start or expand your family, SSM Health St. Clair Hospital Baraboo is here for you from the start. Our women's health providers create an environment of focused care and are proud to provide a wide range of women's health services. To schedule an appointment with a provider or learn more about our family birth suites, visit ssmhealth.com/baraboobirth or call 608-355-3800.
Cell Plus invites you to catch the sunrise on Max FM. 4 hours of positive, uplifting music every Sunday morning from 5 to 9. Brought to you exclusively by your local U.S. Cellular agent. Cell Plus in Baraboo, Reedsburg, and Wisconsin Dells.
Positive music on sunrise.
My toddler got into my cleaning supplies.
I might have taken too much medication. Do I need to go to the hospital?
When poison happens, Poison Help is here. We're the free 24/7 hotline that answers your poison questions. With expert advice from local professionals, available at no charge in over 100 languages, make the right call in a poison emergency. Call Poison Help, 1-800-222-1222, or visit poisonhelp.hrsa.gov.
WRPQ Baraboo,
W279EG Reedsburg.
This is a special report from ABC News, New Hampshire primary. I'm Sherry Preston. Nikki Haley losing another contest to Donald Trump, this time in the Granite State, telling her supporters,
"This race is far from over. There are dozens of states left to go."
ABC News political director Rick Klein says, yeah, but...
She's right. There's lots of states that haven't voted. Most of the nation has not voted. But if you hone in on what's coming up in the next couple of weeks, you start to see the stark challenge. She's not even on the ballot in Nevada. She can't get any of those delegates. Next up, her home state of South Carolina. That really is must win. And the reason is you have about a month until then, and then Super Tuesday is hot on its heels. That's when you have big states like Texas, North Carolina, Virginia.
As for President Biden, his team has been reaching out to independents, not satisfied with the idea that Donald Trump will likely be the Republican nominee, the president asking them to join the Democrats in November. This is ABC News.
From the SSM Health News Center, this is Max News with Jim Finn.
After discrepancies were found in some of the signatures, a candidate has fallen just short of the required signatures needed to get on the spring ballot for Sauk County Circuit Judge. Attorney Jesse Leixenring, who submitted candidacy for the open Sauk County Circuit Court Judge seat during the spring elections, has fallen 3 signatures short of the required 200 needed to get on the ballot. This after the Wisconsin Elections Commission found various issues with the signatures he submitted, which amounted to more than 200. The commission voted unanimously to deny Leixenring's candidacy after presenting arguments and hearing rebuttal from Leixenring. The discrepancies discovered within the signatures submitted included ones with an unverifiable address and one by a convicted felon. Of the 202 signatures submitted, 5 were deemed invalid by the commission, which filed an official challenge to Leixenring's nomination on January 5th. For Max FM News, I'm Jim Finn.
Max FM, Jim City Weather.
We have some dense fog out there this morning, and we even have a little patchy freezing drizzle in a few spots, so watch for scattered slippery spots. It's going to be one of those cloudy, dreary, foggy days, a little drizzle at times with a high of 35. Tonight, a little more drizzle, maybe some freezing drizzle with a low of 32. Tomorrow, cloudy, scattered showers with a high of 37. If you need help with back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. They can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 32.
99.7.
Chumbawamba, Tub Thumping, Maximum Hits of the 80s, 90s, and more, 99.7 Max FM. It is 8:14 right now, and you know, Finn, we're just starting out on a new year. We've officially entered 2024. We've been kind of doing this thing. I'm just finally getting used to writing 2024 when I have to write stuff out, but this is kind of fun because there's been a list of predictions that were made 100 years ago of what life in 2024 was going to be like, and things we were going to experience that's been making its rounds online for the last few weeks. And we have some of those predictions now, and these are actually true predictions that people have put together of from over the course of time, from different interviews, from different, you know, things that were said in magazines or on the radio or whatever it may be. All right, so
this
these are
is
real
from
predictions
like 1924.
This would be 1924, right? Yes,
this is when they thought we probably would all be flying around with jetpacks, maybe?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Now, some of these were serious predictions, and some of them are fairly spot on as well. Some of them, well, not so great. So number one on this list is beds would launch kids up and onto their feet in the morning. Then a flying bus would pick them up and get them to school in 2 minutes flat. This is actually a prediction that somebody thought would happen in 2024. I kind of feel like I need that. I mean, the kids, sure, but, you know, we get up really early. I feel like if something just ejected me out of bed in the morning, I would definitely be on my feet a lot faster.
I love that one.
That's a good one. Our legs wouldn't work anymore. According to people in 1924, they thought by 2024, the muscles in our legs would have atrophied from never being used, all thanks to the inventions of cars. So there you go. We were going to just sit over it. Well, you know, some people do. So there is that. Traveling to other planets would be easy and common. They compared that to crossing the Atlantic Ocean in 1924. Well, I don't know if we're quite there yet, but every day Elon Musk gets us closer and closer, I guess. Either that or he breaks Twitter some more. I'm not really sure which one is happening quicker. Flying clothing is another prediction from 1924. Now, I don't really understand what that means, but someone predicted that we'd all basically wear suits that made us fly everywhere. So, obviously, you mentioned the jetpacks. They do exist now, but they're obviously not too common. But clothes that we would just put on and zoom us from one place to another.
Yeah.
I could be down with that.
And I know there's a James Bond movie, it's Thunderball, where he has a jetpack, but you know what? And obviously the Jetsons, but
yes.
Those jetpacks, you don't stay up in the air very long.
No, it's not like you're doing a long distance commute with the jetpack.
No.
I mean, you're not. It's only going to get you a little ways down the road. That's for sure. Something else that they thought was going to happen in 1924 by this point of life, concerts would be happening remotely. Now, this one did actually happen a few years ago, right? Mm-hmm. But they predicted the bands wouldn't have to tour if they didn't want to, that their live performances could reach people right at home. And they're really not that far off, right? I mean, we're starting to see this a little bit more. So that one's fairly accurate. They also thought that we'd run out of diamonds. In fact, jewelers in 1924 thought that there wouldn't be any left and we'd be making synthetic gems out of sugar, interestingly enough. Now, we haven't completely run out of diamonds yet, but we do know that synthetic diamonds have become a really big business. It's kind of a business boom as of just the last couple of years. So interesting. In 1924, they also thought New York City would have 30 million people and Canada would have about 100 million people. Now, the real numbers are around 8 million in New York and about 40 million in Canada. So they were just a little off. Just a little, but they're right. They both grew pretty quickly. Jazz would be lumped in with classical music. In fact, a Russian violinist said it in 1924 to convince people jazz wasn't a, quote, destructive force in the world. Okay, it's just music. It's just another type of music. Unless you ask my Dexter. He thinks it's like the devil's music because sometimes
he's not into jazz, is he?
No, they make him play it sometimes in drums, and he just can't wrap his head around the fact that there's no hardcore beat. You can change it up in the middle of a song and all of that kind of stuff. So he does actually call it the devil's music. He hates playing jazz.
It's not for everyone, that's for sure.
You know, and Corey and I have been like, okay, so you don't love, I mean, there's different types of jazz, right? So when we play like a smooth jazz for him, that's a little bit more rigid as far as what you do. There is a beat. They follow it. It doesn't change up in the middle of the song. So he can get a little bit more behind that. But yeah, no, playing jazz is not his thing. Not his thing at all.
All right.
They also predicted in 1924 that men would stop wearing corsets. Now, girdles and corsets were actually somewhat common for men in 1924. Not anymore, obviously. But we do have those compression shirts that a lot of guys like to wear underneath clothes and suits and all of that kind of stuff. It's like Spanx for men. That's what I kind of think of it as. Exactly. I mean, if women have to put themselves through it, then, you know, dudes can do it too. And then finally, they thought that radios would, in 1924, they thought by this point in time, people would consider radios to be silly and old school. I guess it depends on who you're talking to. But the quote was, the radio set that so amazed you the first time you listened in will excite laughter among Americans in 2024. They didn't think that radios would completely go away, but they thought that no one would find the technology all that amazing anymore. And, I mean, it's not really a new, exciting technology, but a lot of people do still rely on the radio. Thank you very much. That's why we have jobs.
Thank you, Marconi. Yeah, without
that's right.
us. Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting that they, you know, I mean, they did get some stuff right. Some of it's a little far-fetched, but some of the stuff is sure. kind of close to where we're at in this stage of the game.
I am now, really surprised about the concerts would be happening remotely one because they pretty much nailed that one.
Yeah, I don't know if they knew a little something that we didn't or what the deal was, but that is fairly accurate. Now, 1924 might have gotten a few things wrong about our current living situation, but that won't be the case with, you know, our crystal ball that we have and what's going to happen in another 100 years. So bask in our Notre Dame's level genius with this, okay? So we put together a list of other things that might happen in 2124, 100 years from now, okay? So the Dallas Cowboys are probably still going to be looking for their sixth Super Bowl 100 years from now. Sorry, Cowboys fans, we have to. And speaking of football, just looking at the quarterback's going to probably be considered roughing the passer. Keith Richards is going to celebrate his 181st birthday 100 years from now, Finn. He's still going to be out there with his guitar, I'm pretty
sure.
That was
probably accurate. He's going to outlive us all, for sure.
Yeah. There's going to be so many people who have used Ozempic that airline rows might have six seats in them by 2124, because that's definitely became a thing. You mentioned the jetpack. Everyone's going to have one by 2124. I am sure of it.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep crashing, though, because Boeing's going to be in charge of those jetpacks.
They just
got to get themselves out of trouble. That's fine. Thanks to the rising sea levels, the World Surfing Championships will take place in Oklahoma City. Thank you very much, global warming. Mm-hmm. Self-driving cars will have robotic hands so that they can, you know, give each other the finger in traffic, because we still won't know how to combat our aggressiveness behind the wheel.
Road rage. Yeah.
That's right. And finally, the bottle of soy sauce in your refrigerator that you know has been there for at least 3 years, still hasn't expired, that will someday expire by 2124. So there you have it. All of the fun things that we can look forward to 100 years from now.
Yes.
Cowboys fans, you're going to be waiting a little bit, though. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's going to be a while.
I'm still waiting for Joe Barry to get fired, so I might be right in the same boat as the Cowboys fans. It's fine. Although yesterday, what a shock. I mean, here Packers fans and people in Wisconsin are waiting for news about Joe Barry to drop, and then the Bucks are like, hold my beer. We're firing our coach and bringing in somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay. I said to Chris Hovland in a text, I was like, see, it's not that hard. Did Matt LaFleur see how that works? Because the Bucks made it look easy for everybody. My goodness. What a crazy day that was. And of course, we'll talk about it more in sports coming up in just a few minutes. But right now, we've got to take a look at this forecast because, well, the fog and the drizzle, that's going to stick around for most of today. In fact, Finn, we could see freezing drizzle in some spots as well, which means as you're out there this morning especially, please just keep an eye on the roads. Well, we might as well do that anyway because you're driving. But just be careful because you might hit a slick spot here or there just because of the freezing drizzle and that dense fog, which is pretty much going to stick around for most of today. Going to be just dreary. Clouds today, the fog, the drizzle, it all stays with us. 35 for a high. And then more drizzle and freezing drizzle tonight, down to 32. And tomorrow, cloudy. Once again, we could see some scattered showers, a high right around 37. Right now, it's 32.
The deli at Pierce's Express Market in Baraboo always has something fresh and ready for you when you are. This is Craig. This week, Kretschmar chicken off the bone is $8.49 per pound. Bleist white American cheese is only $6.99 per pound. And Kretschmar garlic herb chicken breast is $8.49 per pound. Also find Mrs. Jerry's cheddar broccoli pasta salad for $4.99 per pound. 16-ounce Panera soups at $6.99. Plus hot and ready chicken tenders at $6.99 for a pound. Pierce's Express Market, family owned since 1924.
High fashion doesn't have to mean a high price tag. Amber Lux Consignment Boutique in downtown Baraboo has name brand women, men, infant, and children clothing items, shoes, designer handbags, gift items, and much more. Women owned and operated, Amber Lux Consignment Boutique is located at 121 5th Street in Baraboo. New items are added daily. Stop in Tuesday through Saturday to find your new fashion focus for less at Amber Lux Consignment Boutique of Baraboo.
Reedsburg Area Medical Center welcomes nurse midwife Beth Adsit.
I was in nursing school. I got to witness a birth with a mom that was so strong, and then a midwife right there supporting her through her whole labor and birth. And that right there was such a big key moment in why I wanted to be a midwife and help women through this beautiful transition of life.
Learn more about nurse midwife Beth Adsit at ramchealth.com.
It's 8:25 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Here is Pat Benatar, Love is a Battlefield on Max FM.
We are young, hearted to heart, we stand. No promises, no demands. Love is a battlefield.
Oh,
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more, 99.7 Max FM. Who doesn't love Pat Benatar early in the morning? Oh, yeah. She's just the best. I love her. It is 8:29 right now, and, you know, I don't want to alarm anybody, but we're 3 weeks away from Valentine's Day. Like, you needed more pressure in your life after the holiday season, right? And if you're one of those people who wants to live drama-free as we head towards Valentine's Day, it might be a good idea to get a sense of the ground rules with your significant other. Specifically, how much are we spending? According to a new report, the average person in a relationship thinks that they should spend about $160 on their significant other. That seems like a lot for Valentine's Day, doesn't it?
Out. Have you checked the price of flowers lately?
No, yeah. I haven't, because I'm allergic to most, and my husband once in a while will surprise me with flowers, but he knows I'm allergic, so he doesn't want to do that either. I'm not easy to shop for, let's put it like that. On the flip side, though, about 30% of people in relationships say that they're not planning on spending any money this Valentine's Day because it's just too darn expensive. Of course, there are still other ways to celebrate, but it's all about the expectations, right? For people who want their partners to spend money on them, 21% say that if they found out they weren't getting anything, they would just buy something for themselves instead. Okay, so why do you need your significant other to get you anything at all? That doesn't make any sense to me. Isn't there like an element of surprise involved or something? Mm. Corey and I have just gotten into the trek where we just don't really buy each other gifts for most holidays, simply because we're the type of people, if we really need something, we're probably going to go out and buy it anyway, or we're just going to get it ourselves, or we'll tell the other one, hey, I really need this, so I'm going to go grab it. We don't really give gifts on holidays. Holidays or birthdays or anything like that. We like to go do stuff together, but we aren't really into the gift giving thing. We have so much stuff already. We don't need to add more to the clutter. That's for sure.
As you know, I made the mistake of proposing to my wife on Valentine's Day. So
there's a whole buildup involved, and there's a lot of planning that has to go down because you need to fulfill that every single year. Like it feels like the proposal all over again, doesn't it, Finn?
Like a loop.
Oh, no. That's a lot of pressure. I can't do that. I can't live up to that much pressure most of the time. I wouldn't expect anybody else to do it either. 17% of people insist that the other person make up for it another time, meaning that if they don't get them something and you have to go buy it yourself, that they make up for it at another holiday or another point in time. 16% would give their partner the silent treatment if they didn't get anything for Valentine's Day and maybe had to go buy their own gift. And 10% would respond by shutting down any Valentine's Day plans altogether. So now we're just going to throw a tantrum about it.
I guess. Wow, all this drama makes me want to be part of the Lonely Hearts Club or something.
Very dramatic for Valentine's Day. And 10% would use the opportunity to break up with their significant other. See, if that's what you're going to do, you're just looking for an excuse in my book anyway.
Right.
If you get so upset over them not getting a gift or forgetting or whatever it may be, it feels like you're looking for an excuse to either be mad at them or you're looking for an excuse to end that relationship anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, this is especially tricky time for younger adults. Gen Z and millennials say that they feel more pressure to spend, and they're also more likely to report that they'll need to go into debt to some degree to actually afford the holiday. See, that's not fair, though. See, this is what bothers me about Valentine's Day. This is a holiday card-generated holiday, right? If you really care
Thank
for
you,
somebody...
Homer.
Exactly. If you really care for somebody and you really love somebody, you're showing that kind of love all year round, not just one specific day. And to put that much pressure on somebody that you feel like you have to go into debt, that doesn't feel like true love to me, right? It just feels like you're wanting to get something out of the relationship. But that's just my take on it. Everybody's got to celebrate it their own way. I know there are some people who go full out on Valentine's Day, and that's awesome. I know that there are other people who, you know, are just like, it's another day, which is pretty much how we live our life in our house.
I think that's best sometimes. But, you know, I mean, that's actually why I proposed to my wife on Valentine's Day was because I had to, it couldn't just be this holiday that was dictated by Hallmark, you know, but I knew it was
something.
Yeah, it was going to come around every year, no matter what. So I had to justify it for myself,
right.
You know? Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, it puts a little bit more pressure on you every year to come up with something good for Valentine's Day. It just keeps you on your toes, though. Keeps you thinking a little bit.
Right.
So there is that aspect of it. But I just feel like if you're going to these extremes and you're putting that much pressure on yourself in some sort of relationship, it seems hard. It seems really hard. And when I read stuff like this, especially about Gen Zers and millennials, I'm like, no wonder my kids have no interest in finding a girlfriend or anything right now. They're just like, nope, all my money's mine. If I want to spend it, it's going to be on me. And that's fine. You know, they're kind of in that vein right now. And obviously they're very young. So I don't discount that either. But, you know, if you're really putting that much pressure on yourself to go into debt so that you can afford flowers and jewelry, I don't know. That seems hard.
Yeah, it really does. And I think for those Gen Zers and younger, you know,
they don't have that kind of income anyway.
You see it trickling into other holidays too, not just Valentine's Day. I mean, Christmas is becoming kind of a different deal for a lot of people. And
you got to be careful with the expectations that we put on ourselves and other people, I think. Yeah,
I mean, if you don't get something for Valentine's Day and you're, I mean, come on.
I'll probably be grocery shopping or something on Valentine's Day. I mean, you can see we go all out here. I don't even know what day of the week it's on or anything this year. I got to look because I literally have no idea my calendar would work. It's on a Wednesday. I'll be taking Dexter to drums on a Wednesday. That's what I'll be doing on Valentine's Day.
Sure.
While he still debates whether or not he wants to play the bass guitar or not and has these conversations with his instructor and about Greek mythology, that's how I'll be spending my Valentine's Day, toting my kid around. It'll be great.
But not on Mother's Day though, right?
Well, nobody does anything on Mother's Day. I'll probably tote him around then too. I mean, don't get me started. We already had this conversation with my husband the other day. I was like, could somebody please help me out and do something? And we got into a big conversation about it because I'm like, none of you do anything. You don't do anything. I'm very convinced of it. I'm very convinced that if I broke a limb at this point or something really bad happened to me or I got really sick, they would leave everything on the kitchen counter until I was able to hobble my way back out there and take care of it all for them. I know that that's what would happen. Now, they say that's not what would happen because my husband looked at me the other day and he's like, eventually we'd run out of silverware. I was like, really? That's why you would eventually end up getting the kitchen sink full of soapy water, huh? Because you'd run out of silverware. I was like, there's plastic right down here. Well, then we're set. We don't have to do it for a really long time. That's exactly what I expected.
Well, I have to be careful because my wife, as you know, her office is right next to mine, and she did hear me talking about Carrie Coon this morning. So, so here's the thing. I mean, she had a thing a couple of nights ago where she was working late and supper was kind of delayed, and she was a little frustrated, and she came out and she's like, guys, you guys have got to do something here because otherwise we're not going to eat until about 7 o'clock.
Sure. That's what time we normally eat. So I'd be happy if I actually had dinner done by 7 o'clock. My gosh.
But I mean, you know, she does too much work, but I mean, to be fair, I do plenty of dog walking too, but I mean, it shouldn't be placed on one person to take care of everything.
It gets a little frustrating though sometimes. And I don't want to complain because, you know, my husband does work really, really hard, so I can primarily be at home and do the show from home. And so I try not to complain about it too much. But once in a while, you just want somebody to pick up the slack for like one time.
A little help.
One time, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's all I ask. One time. And sometimes I'm like, you know, if I throw enough hints, no, nobody will. No. I mean, they might get them, but they just don't care that I'm throwing out the hints. They're still like, oh, yeah, you should really get on top of that. Yep, I sure should. So Here I go. You know, my favorite part is Corey will come home on the weekends now and he's exhausted because he's traveled. It's been a busy week. He's working sometimes 12, 14 hour days, literally. And so I get it. He's tired. And he'll sit down in his chair on a Saturday. I'm like kind of ready to go do something because I've been home all week, but I get it. He's tired. So we sit down. He'll have the fireplace going. He'll be watching whatever he watches on TV. Game shows. We don't need to go into his daily viewing habits. They're not good. And he'll have the blankie spread out on his lap. And then all of a sudden I look at him and here's him and Aspen sound asleep in the chair together. Both of them competing with the other one to see who's snoring the loudest. And I'll be like, well, I guess I'm going to do dishes now because that's what I have to look forward to today. It's rough going out here some days.
Life on Goose Poop Pond.
I know. You don't get much more exciting than us. I'm telling you, you don't get much more exciting than that on a Saturday afternoon. That's for sure. I looked at him the other day and I said, someday our kids aren't going to be around. Is this our life? Is this what we're doing? Is this how I should prepare myself? Should I take up some needlework or some knitting or something? Because I said, is this where we're heading? Because this is not fun. This is not fun.
Yeah, you and I both have to figure out the whole empty nest situation when it happens because, it'll just totally change everything. Game changer.
I get it. He's tired. He wants to rest and sleep. And I've been home basically all week, so I'm ready to go do anything. I don't care what it is. Even if we don't go do anything that exciting and I have to wear my sweatpants, I don't care. Let's just get out of this house for a few minutes. And he's like, no, I've done that all week. Well, this sucks.
That's the same thing Chris does too, because during the course of the week she's tied to a computer and then the weekend comes around and she wants to go do
something.
I'm just like, nah, I just kind of feel like laying around.
Some days I feel like the old guy, the guy from the Time to Make the Donuts commercials. Do you remember that commercial where he'd wake up and he'd shuffle around, Time to Make the Donuts? I mean, some days I wake up and I tell myself that as I'm heading down to the studio, I guess it's time to make the donuts because I'm shuffling and I'm going and I'm getting there. And yeah, I think there are just some days you feel like that, especially this time of year. I don't feel like that so much in the summertime, but I think this time of year, after the holidays until we actually start seeing signs of spring again, I think you really just get into a little bit of a rut because it's cold. You can't do as much as you want outside. There's not as much going on because obviously it's winter time. And so, I think I just get into a rut this time of year. So hopefully he'll be more energetic once the weather gets nicer.
You and Corey should do one of those candlelight hikes. That's what you should do. Get the snowshoes out.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't hike. No. Indoor enthusiast. That's what we call him.
Until Gertie is out again for another voyage this year, right?
Yeah, we just talked about that the other day, too. I was like, because I love Gertie. I do. Gertie's a lot of work, though. And then inevitably, we end up arguing at some point while we're doing the setup and all of that. And he's like, we should really book campgrounds. And I kind of drug my feet on that when I'm like, we should. we should. I know Aspie makes it a little bit harder too because there's so much dog stuff you have to take and all of that. You got to try to keep her happy and quiet. And the last couple of camping trips we've taken, the weather has not been helpful or nice at all. So that doesn't help when you're in a pop up either. But
the dogs change everything, don't they? I mean,
they make everything a little harder. Yeah. They make everything a little harder, that's for sure. So we'll see. We've talked about booking the campgrounds and all of that kind of stuff, but obviously we haven't done anything. But I feel like we're already behind the eight ball. I really do, because people in this state are crazy about camping and they book so early that I feel like if we haven't already booked our prime spots by now, we're probably going to end up next to the outhouse somewhere behind a log like where you get the logs for your fire and stuff. I feel like that's where we're going to end up because it is crazy trying to get campsites in this state, but it's good. I mean, we love our state parks because they're gorgeous. So that's the good news. Mm-hmm. And we have so many to choose from, but it gets really crowded fast.
It does.
Makes booking hard. It makes booking those trips really, really difficult. Coming up, we're going to take a detailed look at your forecast. Luckily, I don't have to worry about that for a while because Mother Nature has decided that it's just going to be gloomy today. Lots of clouds, some drizzle as well. The fog's sticking around. Temperature's going to stay in the mid-30s. Sean Cable's going to tell us more about your forecast in just a moment. Mike Ganger will also have a look at sports next on Max FM.
The way we use our homes is changing. And as your local Carrier experts, we're here to help you improve your indoor comfort. From optimizing the performance of your heating and cooling system to ensuring your indoor air is cleaner and healthier, we're committed to delivering premium comfort and helping you breathe a little easier.
See Prairie Plumbing and Heating at 402 John Q. Adams Street in Sauk City. Call 643-8531. Carrier. Turn to the experts.
Kanamichi Craft Bar in Baraboo is the perfect place to meet family and friends for get-togethers and events. They have amazing charcuterie boards, wine from across the globe, craft beer and cocktails, retail wine, and gift cards. Kanamichi is at 126 3rd Street in downtown Baraboo. Be sure to check out their Facebook posts for more upcoming live music, comedy, game nights, and events. Kanamichi Craft Bar in downtown Baraboo.
For 40 years, Habitat for Humanity of Wisconsin River Area has been dedicated to serving our community by helping local people in need, and this year we are asking you to join us in our mission. This is John. Call me at 370-4985 for more information on how you can be part of our 40 for 40 volunteer challenge. It's a great way to meet new people, be a part of something big, and you might just have some fun too. See hfhwisconsinriver.org to be part of our 40th anniversary celebration.
With Max FM Sports, I'm Mike Anger. Last night, the Baraboo Thunderbird boys basketball team earned the 66-42 win over Mauston. Also from last evening, Reedsburg falls to La Crosse Logan at home. 66-56 the final there. Lake County Lutheran topped Edgewood 74-72 and Monroe's 58-49 winners over McFarland. Girls hoops last night, Mount Horeb comes to Baraboo and leaves with a 65-24 win over the T-Birds. Edgewood crushes Portage 78-14 the final there. McFarland victorious yesterday as well, 62-52 over the Sauk Prairie Eagles. And Reedsburg loses to Stoughton on the road, 72-69, the final in that matchup. Boys hockey yesterday, Reedsburg, Wisconsin Dells, 3-1 winners over Stoughton. Girls hockey, Badger Lightning, 3-0 winners over Sun Prairie. Typical quiet Wednesday, and then things get going again tomorrow. The Milwaukee Bucks are making a change at head coach. The team announced the firing of Adrian Griffin yesterday. Despite the team having the second best record in the Eastern Conference and coming off two straight victories, the expectations are extremely high for the team, given the fact that they went out and got Damian Lillard this offseason, just 43 games into Griffin's head coaching career. Sources say they want to bring in a veteran coach who gives them a better chance to compete for a championship right now. And according to the ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, they already have their sights set on Doc Rivers. The 25-year coaching veteran won a championship with Boston back in 2008, and they believe he is the top candidate available to coach the team. Reportedly, Doc Rivers and the Bucks are currently in talks for that coaching job. Rivers was an All-American at Marquette. Joe Prunty will take over as the interim head coach, same role he served when Jason Kidd was let go by the team. He'll be the official coach tonight when the squad is at home hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. 7 o'clock is the tip-off for that game. With Max FM Sports, I'm Mike Anger.
Max FM, Gem City.
We have some dense fog out there this morning, and we even have a little patchy freezing drizzle in a few spots, so watch for scattered slippery spots. It's going to be one of those cloudy, dreary, foggy days, a little drizzle at times with a high of 35. Tonight, a little more drizzle, maybe some freezing drizzle with a low of 32. Tomorrow, cloudy, scattered showers with a high of 37. If you need help with back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. They can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 32.
99.7.
It's 8:47 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Halfway through another work week. Hall & Oates, you make my dreams come true on Max FM.
What I want. Well, you make my dreams come true.
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. It is 8:50 right now. And some breaking sports news here this morning, Finn. It might be a moment that a lot of Packers fans have been waiting for, but Joe Barry has officially been fired as the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers.
We were just talking about this.
Yep, yeah. It just broke within about the last half hour or 20 minutes or so, and I just got on social media checking all the sites I normally check, and sure enough, the news finally broke. You know, and obviously you never want to see a guy lose their job. It doesn't matter whether or not it was great or it was not great, but Joe Barry seems like one of those really great guys, one of the nicest dudes maybe in coaching at this stage of the game. So sincerely, best of luck to him. I hope he gets a really good linebackers gig because he's a really good linebackers coach. I'm sure somebody's going to pick him up for that role somewhere on the market, but it was time for the Green Bay defense to move on. They have plenty of amazing candidates to choose from, and under Joe Barry, they just kind of stayed stagnant. There wasn't really any a lot of growth. There wasn't improvement. They didn't really get worse. I mean, a little bit in some areas, but they really weren't getting better over the course of his tenure in Green Bay either. And I'm sure for Matt LaFleur, that was not an easy decision because he was still under contract for another year or two. So
have you and Havel texted each other already?
I just texted him, and yeah. I haven't heard back from him. He told me this week earlier that he's like, it's coming. It's going to come sometime this week. So I just texted him, and I said, look at you. You're a regular Notre Dame-ist this morning. I'm sure he's probably busy with his own gig, though, you know, just kind of going through this news and parsing through some of the facts. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do, but an exciting time. And that was one of the things we had talked about on the air and when he was with us for Hanging with Havel and just in text between ourselves. When the Green Bay offense is this young, this dynamic, this exciting, to watch the defense come out on the field each and every time, it felt a little plotting, if that makes some sense, when you would watch the game. Like, there wasn't, you kind of knew what you were going to get each and every time. And so now they have the opportunity to go really build on both sides of the ball and really add, and they've got some great talent and some decisions to make in this offseason. But if you're a Packers fan and you've been waiting for this, Joe Barry has officially been dismissed or fired, if you want to, you know, put euphemisms on it this morning. He has been fired as his role as the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. So I'm sure a lot more news is going to come out of this throughout the week and the next couple of weeks as Matt LaFleur now goes about trying to find his new defensive coordinator. And who knows? I mean, we might have had to wait this long because he already had somebody kind of in mind. He's already maybe had those conversations, but obviously we'll know more as the next couple of weeks progress. But it just felt like time. It just felt like time to let Joe Barry go. Let's put it like that.
Yeah. But and again, you never want to see anybody get fired.
No,
but at the
and
same
he,
time,
he genuinely the, seems the like a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He genuinely seems like a really nice guy. So hopefully he's able to land on his feet. And I know that had to be a tough decision for the head coach because they were obviously great friends as well. So, you know, he put everybody in a tough spot. But hopefully he does well as a linebackers coach. Because again, no problem with him there. If he was just a position coach, I think he'd probably still be hanging around with the Green Bay Packers and doing a great job. But defensive coordinator, his record kind of spoke for itself when they hired him a few years ago. So we'll keep an eye on things. I'm sure you'll hear more as we progress throughout the day. I'm sure you'll hear more from Wisconsin Radio Network. Mike Ganger will probably have some updates as well. And of course, you know, I'll get some stuff from Chris as we progress too. And I'll be happy to share some of that with you as he finds out a little bit more as well. In the meantime, let's go ahead here and take a look at what we can celebrate today. If you're not already celebrating the firing of Adrian Griffin and Joe Barry in the great state of Wisconsin. I mean, my goodness, see, this is what happens. The Bucks were like, hold my beer. The Packers were like, nope, we're going to one-up you another time here. So this is kind of chaos as far as Wisconsin sports, but kind of fun, a little exciting. I have to say my Max is not super stoked on the Doc Rivers hiring for the Bucks. He's not like disappointed in it, but he's like, I don't know. He goes, is it really better than Adrian Griffin? He's like, maybe they'll play better defense. And that's about all he can say right now.
He's not all in on this.
No, he's not. He's not. And he didn't really love Bud. He didn't really love Coach Bud before they fired him last season as well. He was like, it was kind of felt like a Mike McCarthy situation. It's just time for him to go. Not really doing anything wrong, not doing anything bad. It just feels like it's time for him to move on. But he's not really sure that Doc Rivers is quite the answer either. But he's like, I hope I'm wrong. You know, that's one thing, Max will always admit when he's wrong. He's said it a time and time again. He's like, I thought Jordan Love was going to be a bust. I was wrong. And last year, if you joined us at all for Hanging with Hovel, he got on here one day and basically had an apology letter written to Christian Watson for underestimating his skills when he's healthy as well. So the kid's never afraid to admit when he's wrong on people either. All right, so let's do some celebrating here today with things that are not Wisconsin sports related, because it's like whiplash this morning. All right, so today is Beer Can Appreciation Day. So if you love your beer can, you're somebody who has a tower of them in your house or your garage, well, you go stare at those all you want, because today is the day to appreciate those stinky old beer cans. Some of them are kind of cool, though, especially if they're old and like a collector's item too, right?
Yeah.
It's also Belly Laugh Day today. Well, that one pretty much speaks for itself. Get out there and have a good laugh at something. It's Library Shelfie Day today. So see what we did there? This is literally a day where you go into your library and you take a selfie in front of one of the library shelves full of books. Why do you do this? Well, it's an appreciation for our local libraries and all the great programs that they have and they
probably
give to their communities.
Probably the one time I can get behind a selfie.
Right? Right? This. And we have a great library in Baraboo, and I know all of the libraries in Sauk Prairie and Portage and Reedsburg, they have amazing programs as well. So it's really cool that we have libraries that really reach into the community like that. Today is also Macintosh Computer Day. Why are we observing it today? I have no idea. But if you have a Mac and you're a Mac lover or user, this is your day to celebrate it and use it. So there you go. Sometimes these days are weird and random, but, you know, people can basically make a day out of anything. So there we go. Yeah. Today is also National Just Do It Day today. For those who have been on the fence about doing something, whether it's taking a chance on a new job, a new relationship, maybe starting some sort of new exercise regimen, maybe even buying a car, or something that big, today is the day to go out there and just do it, give it a try, and start making the hard choices. It's also National Compliment Day today. You know, it's sometimes I'm not good at taking compliments, so I like to give them a whole lot, though. I have no problem giving compliments, and you never know whose day you're going to brighten just by saying, hey, thank you for that, or you did a really good job with that, or, you know, whatever it might be. And I always try to give people some sort of compliment wherever I can. I feel like it just makes people feel better about themselves. Yeah. It makes your day better too, doesn't it? Because
it doesn't cost anything, you know?
No. I remember when my kids were really little, they used to make these things. We used to take the blank bookmarks, and then they would take a dollop of glue and they would put a Hershey Kiss on it, and then they would color them and they would put things on them like, have a great day. This was something they came up with all on their own because they didn't like how crabby some people looked when they were working in stores, or how sometimes wait staff was rude. And we would always have these conversations where they might just be like that. It might just be their personality, but you never know if they're having a bad day, if something bad has happened to them before they got to work, if somebody has been rude to them before we got there. And so they would take these, and I would always keep them in my bag that I carried. And then when people weren't looking, they would slip them on a table, or they'd slip them to the cat, you know, like around the cash register before we walk out or something like that. They did that. They loved to do that when they were little. They loved to do that. So we always left a ton of those around wherever we went. And then let's see, what else do we have? Oh, today is Talk Like a Grizzled Prospector Day. So if you think you can manage that all day on your important Zoom calls, well, you go for it and you see how far
cinnamon
that gets you.
And gravy.
That's right.
There's gold in them dar hills.
That's nice. Right. That's right. There you go. let's see. What else do we have today? There's a few good food ones on the list. Today is National Edie's Pie Patent Day. This celebrates the anniversary of the patent of the Edie's Pie, formerly known as the Eskimo Pie, which was America's first chocolate-covered ice cream bar. And it goes all the way back to 1920. So there you have it. And who doesn't love an ice
Eskimo
cream bar?
Pies.
They're so amazing. So amazing. It's also a National Lobster Thermidor Day, which, again, lobster, probably not participating.